B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
On a Tuesday morning, Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Ted Johnson in today. What's up, Ted?
Fellas, how we doing? It's good to see you guys. It's been
a while since
I've been on, man. I mean, I see you guys all the time, but in person, I haven't seen you in months and months and months. So it's good to be here and being on the radio today. It's been a long time, so I appreciate
it. Man, Ted.
Squeezing me in the schedule.
Isn't this wild? Like, I'm sure we've all had these conversations, some more recently than others, as things have kind of, you know, been opening back up. But I saw friends over the weekend, like good friends. So, you know,
how good?
You know,
Hardy got a hot tub, by the way, Ted. So he has this pineapple thing he puts on his front porch.
Well,
Hardy has good friends that come
over. That's more about making new friends, okay? That's more about swinging, Ted. You know what it's like.
Oh, sure.
Where you live? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
please.
It's making friends fast.
Right.
Yeah, you get to the point quick.
You know my buddy Tom, Zo?
Yeah. All yeah, right? Very well-dressed, nice, put-together man. Like your mom.
You see Tom here once a month minimum. I hadn't seen him. We figured out when I saw him over the weekend since last September.
Jesus.
Because the holidays got away from us. And it was like that would have been a long time had we gone 3 or 4 months. And then next thing you know, it's wintertime and boom, haven't seen people.
Boom.
So, Ted, we haven't seen you.
I know. It's good to be back and doing some relevant work. And I've tried to maintain, some semblance of a consistent life, but it's been difficult. You know, I found I was lucky, guys. You know, the biggest part of my daily routine is, of course, working out. It's what keeps me, out of trouble for the most part. If you haven't noticed, though.
Do you work out?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. And so my two biggest concerns when this all, started to happen, the coronavirus, and it was looking more and more like this, like everything was going to be shut down, was haircut and workout. And those were my two biggest concerns. And I was able to find someone to cut my hair in their garage, go rogue and do that. And so I was lucky to get my hair cut, but I also found a place or two that I was able to work out by myself, mind you, by myself, get a key to work out and find the ability to train like I always have. So that was good.
And, nice that you weren't bogged down by those, pesky annoyances that other people had to go through.
Like
health and welfare of their family.
Right.
Food and shelter. No, for Ted, it was
stupid
about
stuff.
It was about haircuts and working out.
Those are my biggest concerns, Ted, throughout the whole thing.
Good.
Ted, my daughter now cuts hair. She dyes hair. And I put a gym in the basement. What are you saying, Jim? I'm too loud? I got to turn myself down?
No.
How's that?
Yeah, it's better. Yeah.
You sound good.
Jesus.
Buddy.
Okay. Sorry. I don't touch that. Every time, Ted, I got a board here at home that I don't touch. All I do is press on, and it's always off. Like the levels are always off.
Good, buddy.
My daughter cuts hair, and I put a gym in the basement.
Yeah.
So you could come over, she'll cut your hair, and you can work out, and I'll watch it.
Wait. The basement, you'll watch.
There's no,
okay,
no
good.
Pool
you'll
table
watch.
Now.
You'll encourage me as I work out. The basement, if I remember correctly, it's finished with like TV and couches.
Yeah.
And it's,
yep.
Did
pool
you...
table's gone. We got rubber floor in there now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Squat racks, all York barbells.
You're
your kind of place,
me.
Pal.
Yeah. Boy?
No, it's
yeah,
not
for you, man.
It wasn't for him.
Oh, okay.
It's for
Meathead, my daughter. Meathead, my daughter's
his little visitor. Well, you talk about routine and you talk about, like the things you're used to. Zoe has talked about this before. Ted, I'm sure it's the same for you. This time of year, it's your annual biorhythms tell you what. It's, this time of year.
Yeah, it's time. Football is around the corner.
It's time. Like you're
Go
getting
time.
Back to camp.
Yeah.
And I know for talking to Mike Flynn about this in the past. Like, this is the time of year when he starts to feel like sick to his stomach.
Why?
He's a lineman. He's a freaking lineman.
Because he hated camp.
Ted, when it was real two-a-days, when we actually practiced and you actually hit people.
Right.
You know, from all the issues you got. I mean, yeah, we don't have to do the concussion thing here, but we were doing 9-on-7 Oklahoma drill, goal line, first day of practice. I'm sick to my stomach because I was worried about making weight. And Parcells would always put us down 5 pounds under what I should weigh. So I would come in lightheaded after doing a run and passing out. Scar would weigh us in, and I'd have the milk and the donuts ready to go just to get my weight back up.
Isn't it funny how it's changed, though, with the weight? Like, you don't hear that anymore. And it's you don't hear about guys being overweight or what the fines were. There, what was it? It was like $100 per pound per day.
150, 150, 150 a pound, 150 okay. a pound per day.
Oh, my God. Okay. That's... I mean, 25 years ago, I mean, I consider that real money now. That was real money
then. There were guys.
Two, three weeks in, still not making weight.
Right? And so there, it was always a mind-boggling to me that guys would come in that far, that much overweight.
And for a, say, what was your weight supposed to be, Ted?
250.
Okay, so it, not that big of a deal for a 250-pound guy to come in at 260. Right?
Right, right.
So, and according to my math, that means $1,500 that would have cost you per day, every day you were 10 pounds over.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that if you have a burrito the night before and, you know, make an extra visit to the loo in the morning, you could drop 10 pounds in a second. It's like it's that much of a variable.
Yes.
But like it's... Who knows? So you would have to come in, I would think, if you were really concerned about being at weight, you'd have to come in way under because
he was fine.
You could
fine.
You could hydrate or overhydrate and accidentally put on 6-7 pounds.
And I was, because you can, during 2 days, and Zoe, I love it. We're
I used to
guys.
Show up. You used to live in a condo over in Franklin.
I used to show
up to get you to try and go out drinking all the time. And you would sit there, and Ted literally had 50 boxes of Kraft mac and cheese. And that was his starch and his carbs that he would combine with his grilled chicken. I would sit there and watch him eat it, beg him to come out with us. And he's like, I got to eat this mac and cheese stuff. And he would just eat kids' mac and cheese all day.
I was a Boy Scout back then. It wasn't until
Dude,
after
so much
I was over with
Flo.
You know what?
Matt Rex.
I don't like to bring that up, but damn it, that creatine got me in trouble a couple times, man.
I was on Andro. Come on, man.
It's the best.
Ted, best thing was we used to walk in the locker room, and there were these Kramer jars. Kramer was the old antiseptic brand, and you would have the big stick of the Flexol 44 and, you know, all your...
Hey, Johnny Parker was all about the Flexol, wasn't he?
Ted, and we had those jars of greenies, which are the uppers, and the salt pills. And you could just, guys are just popping them, they're grinding them up, putting them in coffee with Ultra Fuel.
Oh, yeah.
Black coffee, and you're humming coming out of there.
It was a different time, but Zoe brings up a time in football when you just, the guys that came before us had it much harder than we had it. We had it so much harder than the guys that are playing today. Yep. So we're that generation that's going to talk, bitch and complain. But
that's
Bin Laden. But it was a different game. I mean, you're right. It was half pads in the afternoon, and we were still doing 9-on-7 and with half pads with Parcells. Now it's like you don't get 2 days ever, right? I mean,
they don't hit at all.
They don't even
really thud on kick return.
That's right.
Remember prior to 2011, we used to board planes from the rear and go up the back entry?
Yeah.
Never went through security. They had coolers of booze lined up for us. And the training staff would come around and give you whatever you need to knock you out.
Yeah, pretty
Mix
much.
It with that. Now you can't get anything on these planes.
Can't get any good stuff, huh?
You can't even have liquor. No,
well, you get almond butter, don't you? You get almond butter instead of peanut butter on your sandwiches?
We have weirdos that pack their bags. People that certain floor directors that... have to eat those before they have their massive 48-ounce steak.
Dude, and that's one of the biggest changes in the NFL, too, is the eating habits. Let's face it. I mean, you get there on a Sunday morning, or excuse me, on a Saturday morning, and the first rounder was always given the job of bringing in what?
Donuts.
Donuts, right?
Dunkin' Donuts.
And the second round, so Ty Law brought in all the donuts, and then I had to bring in all the drinks. But guys had certain specific drink orders.
Right.
So I could bring in orange juice and apple juice, but one guy liked chocolate milk. One guy liked cranberry. And I had to go get all their – and so we'd have donuts and all this stuff when we got there. We'd get on the buses. Guys had already gone to Popeye's Chicken and brought in food on the bus.
You get on the plane, they have hamburgers or grilled chicken. It was like nonstop. And then you get to the buffet that night when you get there. And I always laugh because offensive linemen, and they always had an ice cream bar. It was the funniest training during the season and during training camp. Ice cream, and all offensive linemen would be just, you know, had ice cream and all the toppings. And you go, why are you guys eating that? Guys, we're going to play in a game tomorrow.
Well, they put it out there.
Well, we ate Whoppers, too.
I mean, what are you going to do? Like, well, not eat it.
There used to be that Burger King. That Burger King was right outside the hotel in Milford there, and they always had the 2-for-1 Whopper. So you're not going to pass up a good deal, even though we were going to get fed. So I was buying 2-for-1 Whoppers. I would always split it with Max Lane, and we would have the Whopper before the special teams meeting. Then we'd eat.
Yeah.
You pass up a 2-for-1 Whopper. I'm with you, Zoe. It's like you're leaving money on the table. You know, if there's free food out, you take it. Yeah. If there's a 2-for-1 Whopper, even if you're going to eat, even if you're not hungry, well, you got to buy them.
You got to buy it.
Because it's fiscally irresponsible to not buy them when it's presented to you.
Even though you're the next day you're playing in a sporting event that takes all of your, you know, physical capacity, power to be at your optimum, and you're eating, you know, Burger King. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. So the NFL has drastically changed from the time we played.
They're not entirely no empty surprise. Calories, but I get what you're saying. I guess with guys right now, are they really getting ready for camp on July 28th? Are they going to be at camp on July 28th? So
a big yeah. We're going to do this on the other side. And I think guys are starting to get nervous. I'm getting nervous. It takes us back to our time when we reported, and I think we had a totally different mindset. We'll touch on that.
Yeah, but your mind right now, your mind, your body, everything for guys who do this year after year after year, it's like a kid going back to school. It's like, you know, people who have seasonal jobs. You know, your mind and body are ready to go back to work right now. And I don't know that they're going to. I mean, the more we hear about this and the more we learn, and we'll kind of get into all of it next. And, Ted, I wonder what you think about it, because you still obviously have tons of contacts with people, and you're talking and you're hearing things and, you know, reading between the lines. I want to know what you think. Guys going back here 15 days from now. 15 days from now. So we'll
good luck.
We'll get into that. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Ferbito here with Ted Johnson with us today on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Ferbito. Ted Johnson with us today and tomorrow, too. You here for 2 full days, Ted?
I am.
It's great.
I know.
Oh,
Keep in all week.
Love it. All right, so we're...
I'm here if you need me, guys. You call me anytime you want.
Okay. We are...
She said.
We're wondering... well played, Zo. We are... We're wondering if camp is going to start on July 28th.
Yes.
There are some issues regarding... the start of camp. I would say first and foremost, players haven't really been told that they're going to be back at camp on July 28th definitively. There's that pesky little issue of whether or not there is a mandate, an edict, and in football, like maybe more so than any other sport, you guys are used to being told, here's how it is, okay? We've got 53 guys in here. You know, this can't be, this isn't a democracy. This isn't any kind of, let's sit around and talk about our feelings. You get told where to be, when to be there, how to play your position by a variety of sources. Is that an accurate assessment, Ted?
That's
Zo?
Very much a fair way to put it, yes.
I mean,
yeah, I think, you know, guys like Ted, and obviously, you know, we don't have to sit here and talk every segment about Ted working out, but he works a hell of a lot out more than, say, a receiver or like a quarterback would. So I don't know how these guys that haven't had the OTAs, that haven't trained in groups, that haven't even had mini camps, and we talk about timing, and you could have as many Zoom calls as you want. You could have as many, you know, huddles as you want, or calling guys on the phone. Until you get out there and see things, or you could point to a certain motion that you feel coming from right to left, head, you as a defensive player. Oh, God, what's the grouping? They're in three wide. We got to be in sub. Am I the Mike? Am I an outside guy? All that stuff. They are so far behind the eight ball and that stuff that I think a lot of this stuff that we're going to talk about here, these guys wanting to, you know, hit the ground running, and you got this grace period where they can't put helmets on and they got to kind of acclimate themselves into preseason. I think it's a little shock and awe right now because I think guys are scared bleepless.
I don't think they've been told.
We don't know what to
do. The McCourties say they haven't been giving a report. They haven't been given a report date. They've been told.
I'm sure Bill's be 15 days. Don't you think Bill's all over that? Don't you think Bill's all over that? Now it's a standard 28th of July reporting date. But I'm sure Bill told them, hey, this thing could be in flux here, right? I mean, they've got to be alerted to it to where it could be maybe a week later, maybe 5 days later, maybe 2 weeks later.
Yeah, and so that's fascinating yourself. Because let's face it, wouldn't we always, well, Zoe, I don't, you probably weren't as worried about it as much because I think you're, I forgot what group you run in, but remember our conditioning test. Okay, you ran with the tight ends. So,
tight ends, fullbacks.
All right, so, but that conditioning test was, okay, you ran with, okay, we all ran, you ran with us then.
I run that backwards.
That would, okay. Well, I couldn't because it was a good test about where you were with your conditioning. So there's, you know, you like to, you know, peak at that time. You like to peak where you are going to be ready to do that conditioning test. And if you don't know when you're supposed to report to camp or when that conditioning test is, it's, you know, a lot of, some guys are going to handle it better than others. It'll be interesting. It's going to be a test of who took this time seriously, who was a pro's pro, who did what they, you know, needed to do without us telling them what to do. And so you're going to see guys maybe in different kind of levels of where their conditioning is. That's going to give some information, I think, to some of these coaches. So they're going to have to be ready at a moment's notice. But you're right. I think the two teams, rookies for the Texans and the Chiefs, are supposed to report this weekend.
Right.
And that's, you know, we're just a few days away from that. And that, to me, I've been told that's up in the air, and that's unclear.
Are there any issues in Texas right now with the virus?
A little bit.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
A little bit.
Here's the McCourties on their show, the Sunday night show, double coverage. This is what they had to say about the reporting date and in terms of NFL training camp. You got it ready to go there, T-Bone.
Martha said, do you know when you have to be at camp?
We do not. We have not got any letters for report dates. Just to give you like a understanding of that, usually when we leave the facility from mandatory mini camp, that would be
which is usually in the middle of June.
We already got a letter with what day you have to be back. So it just goes to show everything going on and the communication between the PA and the NFL of trying to get everything to work out. I think that's what's kind of been the holdup of having a report date.
Team captain.
That make you a little nervous, though?
Yes and no, because I think we're obviously dealing with things we haven't dealt with in, I don't know what, over 100 years. So it's a different time. The problem with me, like,
Devin McCourty and Jason McCourty, right. Two of the most even-keeled guys you'll ever hear from sports, entertainment. I mean, these guys are just like solid, level-headed,
smart.
Like, just, you know, not a lot of silliness with them. Well, they're just kind of like telling you how it is. Yeah. You know, trustworthy, like honest guys, and they're on the say like, well, normally you would get a letter when you leave the mandatory mini camp there in the middle of June.
Oh.
And here it is. Here, everybody, as you walk out, take this. This has all the information of when you're supposed to be back, where you're supposed to be, what your conditioning level is supposed to be, right? It's everything is everybody's
your weight, which you report.
Everybody
at,
gets everything. Told everything. You get handed a piece of paper
2 months before you even, you know, your report date.
We didn't have that, so we don't. Okay, so what have they told you since then?
Nothing.
They haven't told us,
which is shocking to me.
Well, here's your problem. You got guys, and you know, the Tennessee, right? They I think Jason still has the house down in Tennessee. I think Devin goes down there, or they got, you know, going back to see their mom. If you're going to visit people, you've got to be back here 14 days. It's the state law. You got to be back here to quarantine, to be in the area, to make sure you're okay to go back on the 28th. So some of that stuff, I think Devin's trying, and Jason are trying to play it right here, that team captain, Jason's been around the block. They're all tied into the union. They know what the union's talking about. They know what Bill's talking about. I think they have a pretty good understanding for when they report, when they got to be back in the area and all that. And I don't think they want to air a lot of stuff out right now. Nor does anybody. But for me, for any of these guys coming back, for me, it was always about the normal. I had my cliques. Ted, you had your cliques. You had your guys in the locker room, that your locker room mates, your buddies that you actually sit and really spend all your time with, the guys you sit at lunch. Now, when you walk into that place and they got you spread out into different rooms and they got plastic partitions between people, mentally that sends me into what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you know what's going on because you don't sleep under a rock, and you watch the news, and you know people are on. You've been on Zoom calls for the last 3 or 4 months, but when you want to come back and play football, I think you want to be turned loose in the building. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The only thing I would find
test me every day and just let's do what we do.
The thing I would get comfort in knowing though, Zoe, is that you like to think that every team is following the same guidelines, whether or not how strict they are or how. You know, how much it's being enforced. You like to think that so whatever twilight zone that you are living in, and these guys will be living in the twilight zone, is so going to be unfamiliar. The only thing is that I would find comfort in is thinking and knowing that other guys on other teams are going through the same kind of thing. I would be – so you think that maybe Devin isn't really being forthright in what he's saying? Okay.
A little bit.
Because it would be shocking to me to be on a Bill Belichick football team – and still not know when your reporting date is.
When should I come back to the state? I don't know. I think you know.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, Zoe, I don't think it's any law that is in effect. You know, according to the information
CDC guidance
set forth by mass.gov, the way they word it is all travelers arriving to Massachusetts are instructed to self-quarantine for 14 days. Okay?
Yeah. So we hope you'll do it, but, you know. Yeah.
But here's another thing,
too. We can't catch you if you're not.
It's not a law, right?
Ted,
there are rules within companies,
right.
And there are – but I don't know. The McCourties are in Tennessee. They come in and they test negative. It's like, what are they going to – if they're with family or something up until a week from now, and then they finally get the letter saying, no, you are going to be back on the 28th, and that's – oh, wait a second. Let me do the math. That's only 7 days from now. Is a seven-day quarantine going to be okay for those guys? My gut tells me it will be.
Yes,
it should be. But I mean, it's still something.
But they should also probably know by now when they're coming back.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And to me, the NFL, if there's any hangups, the NFLPA and the NFL are negotiating, conditions and testing protocols. It'll get settled. The NFLPA, please. They'll acquiesce like they always do. Always.
Worst union.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? You think the NFLPA is going to put up a stink about testing protocols? Hell no. No, no. So to me, of all the sports, the NFL is the one that it's going to get off on time. It's going to, look, there were supposed to be 4 preseason games. It sounds like there's only going to be 2. My feeling is it is business as usual. Coronavirus, the NFL, what? Hey, we'll deal with it as as it comes. But there, to me, that is a train that is full steam ahead and isn't going to stop anytime soon.
All right. The one big question about this team right now, other than when are they coming back and when are they going to play, obviously has to do with Cam Newton and the quarterback situation. Ted, we haven't gotten your thoughts on this. I guess we can start to roll into that, but basically there are now 2 schools of thought. And the original school of thought, going back to the spring, that Zoe is still, I think, on board with, is that Stidham is the guy. They like Stidham. He's the guy. And just in case you're not sure, here's a bunch of information about Stidham that we will disseminate through a variety of sources and platforms so that you too can feel good about the Jared Stidham era beginning in New England, starting in the fall of 2020.
Sounds good, buddy.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Now, having said that, they go ahead and sign Cam Newton, a very low-level contract, laden with incentives, but it's a MVP from 5 years ago, and a guy who was having a pretty damn good season in 2018 until he got injured. So now there are, I think, 2 schools of thought. I think there is, Stidham is the guy, and they're just, being smart. They're going to give an available player a great contract. Or they're saying it's Cam Newton, and this guy is the guy. And if healthy, obviously it's him. Steve Smith has something to say about whose job it is right now. Stephon Gilmore is a guy who has something to say on the other side of things. We're going to hear what both of those are. Yep. And then, Ted, I'm dying to hear what you think.
Okay.
Because I know what Zoe thinks. Zoe thinks it's Stidham. Yeah. To me, feels like Cam Newton is going to be the quarterback for this team. So, again, Steve Smith, Stephon Gilmore, Ted Johnson. We'll hear what everybody has to think here coming up. Right after the headlines on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
With Jim Louth.
Yeah, Louth on the headlines. I forgot about that. Let's go, Jimmy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we're going to get to Stephen Smith and who else? Oh, Stephon Gilmore. What they had to say about it. Steve Smith, Stephon Gilmore. Oh, that's right. It's not Joe Jackson. Very good, Zoe. Thank you.
Ted, doesn't that sound like Joe Jackson?
A little bit.
Out?
A little bit. I've heard you. Yep. Liking it to Joe Jackson.
Yeah. One of his go-to bits.
But I feel like Jamiroquai. What's the name of this band, though, that sings this song?
Jamiroquai.
Did we decide this was Jamiroquai?
Is it Jamiroquai?
No, it's not Jamiroquai.
It's not.
It's Who still.
Still okay. What?
All right.
Still sucks.
Yeah, so owned.
That's my go-to.
Was it you guys talking
about quarantine,
about,
man?
About dancing to? No, it wasn't. Dancing to stepping up to Boston or shipping up to Boston. Shipping up to Boston.
I don't know that we talked about it.
No one dances.
Like,
to
what
that,
do you
Dad.
Dance to that? How do you dance? Oh, there it was. I think it was Felger and Maz. They were talking about it because the new. NHL, what they're doing in the NHL is they're basically asking fans to record different kind of
you're chronic, huh?
Cheers.
You listen all day.
I do. I do. Can't get enough of the sports stuff. But they were so it's random kind of you know like they want Bruins fans for example to cheer Tuca right, and then send in a video of you chanting that, and somehow they're going to incorporate it into the. You know, the live game.
Oh, into the crowd sounds.
Yes,
right.
Into the crowd
I got
sounds.
You.
So that's so each team has different requests for their fans to send in different chants and cheers.
Don't tell me this is the Bruins request.
Shipping up to Boston is they want fans to dance to that.
Okay, let me.
So how would you dance to Shipping Up to Boston?
Have you ever been to an Irish wedding and you've watched white guys dance?
Yeah.
And they just bounce up and down. And
so,
just, like, they run into
you.
Each other.
Okay.
And bang. It's like a mosh pit.
Well, okay. What is one of the best like dance songs from our college days? Is it the song
Chumbawamba?
You know the song?
Chumbawamba.
Is that the name of the song?
It's Chumbawamba.
I get knocked down.
But we didn't dance to that, and we didn't dance to Come On, Eileen by Dexys.
Yeah, you jump up and down. You just jump
Dexys
up and
down. No,
you do the fist pump.
And you just dance
Ted,
up. It's
just come on, ride that train and ride it.
Now that.
Okay, all right. That's
Quad train. City DJs.
That's different. Oh, that's
T-Bone.
Different.
Nice.
T-Bone, we were going to listen to.
Ted taking it off the rails.
Yeah,
this is great.
No,
you
love
it.
We were going to listen to Cam Newton and what he thought about replacing Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But now.
Don't ever play this on his station again. Oh, this is. Oh, I'd
be
Boston.
If you had to dance to this song,
friends.
How would you dance to it?
Beantown.
You would dance a jig.
You would dance like me leprechaun. My little leprechaun hiding under the stairs.
I think you would do the exact same dance you would for Come On, Eileen.
I think you would incorporate some Irish step dancing.
Okay,
you,
maybe.
You,
all right.
You
I
like
would just
Come
jump
On,
straight up and, I would just jump straight up and down. Like I do to
You've
come
attended
on.
Parades in Boston. The Irish step dancers.
Okay.
There are like three sections of them. From, you know, different dance studios in town.
Yeah. You ever see a Bruins fan? You ever see a hardcore Bruins fan?
No.
I don't think they dance. You ever see, like, the luchador guy or the weirdos that come in and tap the sticks beyond Toucher and Rich? Bruins. None of those people dance.
They are asking fans of the Bruins to dance to Shipping Up to Boston, though. That's what they're asking.
It's a terrible idea, and
this is when we suck that we live
in Boston. I watched the first Revs game against the Impact last week, and they had crowd sounds that they were pumping in, and I didn't mind it. It didn't bother me at all. What bothered me was when they showed up on the video screens there, you know, where they're playing in Orlando, like random shots of fans watching in real time, and just that Skype Zoom face up there of people like just kind of slack jawed staring at it, or in this case, like
it didn't add
video
to your
of fans
experience.
Dancing. No, I found it unsettling at best, okay. and really terrifying at worst.
And it's one of those things.
I don't want to see that.
I'm guessing, Hardy, that you probably could have predicted it before it even started. So,
there's smart people
that are trying to figure this out.
I thought the piped in crowd noise was a mistake, but as it turns out, watching the game, it was fine. You got the drums going. Now, Shirt and Lieb watched it, and he's like, I didn't like it, all the drums. It's like, well, you don't watch soccer, so you don't know. This is what it sounds like all the time.
Yes.
There's always noise going on during a soccer match, whether someone is doing something noteworthy or not.
That's right.
It's just a constant drone of noise, so that was fine. But the video shots of the fans in their natural habitat.
That's
I don't want to see sports fans in their natural habitat.
Could agree with you more on that. Yeah, the visual aids that you want to add in there, I'm good with. The sound, I have no problem with.
No. Cam Newton last night. He was in this roundtable discussion on YouTube. Mm. He was with Odell Beckham Jr. and Todd Gurley and Victor Cruz. Mm. What a collection, right?
Yeah.
Like, who got these guys together?
That's some randomness there.
Right, very random, right? But he made some comments because, of course, there hasn't been an introductory press conference. I don't really expect there to be one other than...
Why should there be?
No, really, right? It's like, you know, they made the video, but that was just kind of like a thing. It's like, hey, we're putting a video out there. Don't make too much of this.
Yeah.
Don't make too much of this.
The bigger problem is the ones Cam puts out, because these are the ones of me. These are my personal hype videos. Before I even get there and know anybody in that locker room.
Okay.
I'm telling everybody I'm coming. I'm going north. You ever seen
my... Why not?
You better blow my doors off when you get here, because I ain't never seen nothing like this.
Guess what,
we've seen the other Cam.
Guy needs a job. You'd be doing the exact same thing.
He's already got a job, but he's doubling down on himself, which I find... I like when a guy puts pressure on himself, but he's definitely... When he does his own hype video, it's kind of like, all right, Cam, I kind of like a guy that if you're going to call your shot, you better deliver. So, you know...
All right, yes. So let's see what he's saying here in this round table. Once again, with Odell Beckham and Todd Gurley and Victor Cruz, is he talking about, you know, coming to New England? Is he talking about it, you know, what if and how it's going to work? I don't know. I haven't heard this yet. We're going to hear it together for the first time.
We have to talk about the elephant in the room. And it's like, you know who you coming after. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, great.
Yeah.
What he was, what he is. It's great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you, Coach McDaniels, are you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now? All right. You know, and I told, hey, you're getting a dog.
Oh,
you get, I'm, you getting one of these ticked off dogs, too, that's like, bro. And I'm looking at the schedule. I'm like, who we play? That team passed on me. Okay. That team passed on me. They could have game and got me. They hollered at me. I even asked my agents, like, hey, yo, so what's up with... Nah, man. The agent act like he was like, well, we got to wait till... It was just all type of, you know, issues. So I'm like, bro, you know what? I'm going to take this time with the COVID. I said, I'm going to commit to myself.
So I've never been more confident instead of Mr. Sarver.
I am with
this dude. This dude thinks it's gift wrapped.
Back up,
Coach McDaniels. Hey, Coach, you need to call your offense.
Back up.
You gonna call so much stuff different now?
Back up. When he started talking, and he said, "You know who you're coming after," and I'm thinking he's coming after Stidham to take his job. No.
Brady.
He meant, who are you following?
Brady.
Following Tom Brady. He's got the job in his mind.
It's his job.
He's got the job.
Yes. And not only that, but the comment that stuck out the most was, now we can do some things. Josh McDaniels can do some things he couldn't do before.
My way. my way. Tom Brady's not here because they didn't want to do things Tom Brady's way.
But they're in line. Right, right.
That guy that won six. The guy you played with, Ted.
Yeah. Yeah, okay? Yeah, yeah.
That guy.
Okay, so therein lies the rub, you guys, because whenever Cam Newton comes up, and I've done other shows in different markets just going on, and they've asked me about it, I've said, everybody asked about the health. What, you know, health concern. Like, you know what?
He's healthy.
Yeah. Everybody wants to talk about is if he stays healthy, it's going to be a home run.
What's his timing?
I'm more worried about his attitude. I'm more worried about his mental makeup. I'm worried about so many.
Keep hanging with OBJ.
Think about it. We know how many accomplished players have come here and been the guy on other teams. They come here. I think part of the draw here is to play with Tom, to play with a winning organization, but to play for Bill Belichick. They come here and Bill, it's like when you get recruited in college, man, they throw out the red carpet, baby. And then that first day of camp, you're like, oh God, you're like buried in the depth chart. You're insignificant and you're just like everybody else. Cam Newton's is he going to adjust to being like anybody else? Does Bill adjust his coaching style for Cam Newton? My feeling is he won't. So is Cam going to be able to adjust to the new working environment? It is unlike any out there in the NFL, being treated, for the most part, everybody's treated the same. And a lot of guys that are accomplished players that come from other teams, they don't pan out here. The most recent example of that is Michael Bennett, where they just can't handle being treated like everybody else.
Ted,
I got a question here, Ted, too. And you've dealt with this with guys, and I'm sure guys in the locker room now, you lasted there a hell of a lot longer after I left. But to watch Bill sit back and probably internalize all this stuff, and he's watching and hearing all this stuff, do you think he shuts it down? Or does he allow him to be who he is for the next 30 days, and then let's see what we have on the field?
I think he's
not happy about this.
He can't be happy about it. Bill's nature would be to shut this down. Now, maybe Bill's like, all right, we'll sign him. I'll talk to him. And I'll see how he reacts to it. And so he's just kind of watching what he's doing. And so once you get into camp, maybe you'll see that change. My feeling is it will change because this is not you typically. Now, Bill's been more open to kind of guys doing their own thing social media wise.
But they've had the talk.
But within reason.
You know what I mean?
They've had the talk. No question about
Gronkowski it. Gronkowski got it. I want to talk about Brandon Cooks jumping on my back, but I really can't because he's going to yell at me. You know, like it even got through to him.
Okay, two things. Number one, it's the quarterback position.
So
it's different than any other position on the team. And even in the Patriots organization across the league, coordinators, coaches will tell you, no, you don't make a quarterback adapt to your system. Once you have your quarterback, you design the system in a way that he can be successful in it. Now,
on most teams, Bill, do you know how Bill got, you know, with the Patriot way, this whole, I love it, the Patriot way. The way he was able to coach the way he's been able to coach with the kind of, emotionless, cold cut, just cold hearted kind of way of doing business is because he treated the quarterback for the most part. There were things that shocked me in 2017. Alex Guerrero gets access to the building. There were things that but Tom was given liberties later in his career that I didn't think would ever be possible. But for the most part, Tom was fair game in team meetings as far as criticism, as far as how he was evaluated and judged in front of the entire team. And that made everyone else fall in line. The most important player on the team in that position was treated like everyone else for the most part. And that's how he got everyone else to fall in line. If he treats Cam Newton differently than everyone else, then that whole model that he's been using for his whole career here, it goes to waste.
Not from the beginning. But afterward, once they decide who the quarterback is, this isn't Chad Ochocinco, where if it's like, if you can't run the routes and you can't read the offense, then you don't work here. No. Once they decide who the quarterback is, who is going to give them the best chance to win, then I would argue they have to, like every other team does, like the Patriots have for years with Tom Brady, and when they had to start Jimmy Garoppolo or Jacoby Brissett, they changed things so that the quarterback can actually succeed on the field. They don't ask the quarterback. Nobody asked the quarterback to do things he's not capable of or to do things he's not good at. They didn't ask Tom Brady to throw bombs. They didn't ask Tom Brady to scramble outside of the pocket and go pick up yards. You do once you decide. Now, I agree with you from the beginning and in camp when he first gets here. Okay, everyone's going to be the same. But once things are in place, and I think to a slightly smaller extent, they do that with players across the board. You don't have certain corners or safeties
but we're talking
to do
about two different things
they can't do.
Cam Newton needs to be Cam Newton, the football player on the field. But Cam Newton, the social media, the brand, how he conducts himself off the field, Bill takes a huge investment and cares very much about how guys conduct themselves off the field. And that is what I think he's most concerned about is the chatter, the talk. And how that might be perceived from other guys on the team and in the fan base.
So, you know what we haven't asked Ted yet? Who he thinks the quarterback is going to be. So, we'll do that next, okay? It's a very simple question, Ted. Who's going to be the quarterback for the Patriots? Game one, week one. Who's it going to be? Whose job is it to lose right now? And who ends up getting the job when it's all said and done? Ted Johnson with us here on Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Proof again.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Now, Ted's very happy. He wants to dance to this. He claims that he danced.
We used to go to Purple Shamrock. We did, man. We used to go to Purple Shamrock. Just,
every bar plays this song late night. At least
Max Lane loves this song.
Maxie does. And if you see Maxie dance to this song, it's basically you just jumping up and down, you know? A little. What is it?
Better this than Everclear Santa Monica.
I told him don't play that. I warned him. I told you that.
he warned Art Alexakis from the band. Whatever you do, don't play your hit song. You better not. I mean, you've been warned.
He's so mad.
I love Max because there's just never any question on how he's thinking. It's Max is about as direct and as straightforward as they come. And I appreciate that in a person.
Yeah.
You know, when everyone else is elusive and doesn't say what they really mean, Max says exactly.
He's not hiding anything. All right. Ted Johnson in with us on Zolak.
Stop avoiding the topic, Ted.
Hardy in for Beatle, Ted Johnson. We just heard from Cam Newton in his YouTube roundtable. He talked about he knows who he's following here, following in the footsteps of Tom Brady. He says that Josh McDaniels is going to be thrilled because now you can run plays that you couldn't run before, and that's the elephant in the room of blah, blah, blah.
How lucky he must feel.
Ted.
Yeah.
I'll start you off easy. As of this date, 13 July. Whose job is it to lose? The quarterback job.
It's 14th of July. Tax day is tomorrow.
Excuse me. Hold on.
Let's get it right.
This is a problem with June the 30th. I'm going to change my watch.
Change your watch.
Don't blame it on June.
Whose job is it to lose right now? Jared Stidham's or Cam Newton's?
It's Cam Newton's.
Cam Newton's job to lose. Okay. So that's why they brought him in here.
Yes.
They brought him in here to be the quarterback.
I to compete for it, okay, you can say that they're there to compete. But here's I see two options. Zoe, and I know where you're coming from. I hear what you're saying, but I just think that can you envision Cam Newton the way he's talking and the more he talks, the more it kind of validates the feeling I have. There's really only two things you can do with Cam Newton: either you start him or you cut him.
Right.
He is not going to be a backup on this team.
I
can't imagine him being a backup on this team. Right, so. So for me, it's, you know, where you can envision a scenario with Jared Stidham being the backup and being fine with it and accepting that and being okay with that. He is going to he will accept his role if it's a backup.
Hoyer was told he's coming in to compete for the job.
Right.
You got a wide ass open competition
here, pal.
Yeah, tell Hoyer anything
at this point.
Now, the thing you risk, and you guys have been
hit. What are you, a liar then?
is that if Cam Newton doesn't get the. Because I think one of the biggest reasons you brought in Cam Newton is not only because he gives you a. There's a dynamic piece to him, and there's a lot of upside, yada, yada. The contract is favorable for the team, but it gives the overall team a collective boost of energy and optimism. You know what I mean? Like,
there's it gives going, you. No, I agree with you on that.
There's going to be a huge hangover from Tom not being here, and there's going to be a collective kind of insecurity, or there's an unknown factor, and you're not sure. Sign Cam Newton, it raises everyone's confidence level.
Swagger. Big time. Gives you some swagger on offense, is what it does, because the story of this team right now is the defense and the secondary. Okay?
Right.
That's your team. That's your team right now.
Exactly.
Coaching and your secondary.
I'm sorry. You know, Jarrett Stidham, it might be. And Jarrett's a great kid. Nice kid. Like, great kid, great story, but he doesn't instill confidence in a team because nobody knows really what he is yet. Where everyone, you can see what Cam Newton is and what his possibilities are, so it gets everyone excited initially. I just can't imagine. If Cam Newton is not the starter, then he's cut.
Okay, so it's Cam's job to lose now. Does he win the job? Who's quarterback week one of the Patriots?
He said Cam Newton.
Yeah, it's Cam Newton.
It's Cam. Because
it's Cam Newton.
That's what they brought him in here for.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not to compete and it's not to back up. It's to start.
I agree with you. And you play that out. Do you really run the risk of pissing off Jarrett Stidham if he doesn't get handed the reins of the Patriots in the first year after Tom Brady's absence? Does part of Jarrett Stidham say, whew?
Part of the allure of Jarrett Stidham to me is the fact that he doesn't get flustered. Like, he's handled everything they've thrown at him going back to preseason last year.
What has he had to do?
Just they load you up with the offense. Let's see how you handle everything. We're going to get
in
game situations.
In practice?
Oh, by the way, we're going to cut Hoyer and you're going to be the backup.
In mop up time?
That's how good we felt about
it. Where has Jarrett Stidham proven to you that he can handle the pressure? Zone?
He hasn't yet.
Okay, so they don't know.
He hasn't yet, but he's in the year two of this system, which is very complicated.
Great.
Cam's got to come in and blow doors in 30 days.
Yeah.
That's quick.
Well, yeah,
quick.
It is quick for somebody who wasn't an MVP 5 years ago and who looked pretty damn good 2 years ago.
Here's the difference.
Really, with only one receiver, and that's Julian Edelman, it separates. Because good luck throwing in practice other guys that separate with these corners.
Good luck.
These corners are going to lock your ass up
and
in practice.
And Jarrett Stidham's going to be any better?
Here's the thing about
it. I think the ball will be out quicker in practice for him.
It might, though. But do you think they're going to be able to run a complicated system with a truncated offseason and training camp? My feeling is Bill's probably looking at this. It's going to be more of backyard ball type of kind of game plan more this year than it's ever been.
I know. I go the other way. I think they meet so much that you don't. I think they meet that you don't even know how much they meet.
All right, maybe.
And how many Zoom calls that they do. That we're going to take this the other way because everybody's behind the eight ball, right? Not us. We are so well coached.
I hear
well versed in everything.
That might be true. Big difference though. We're going from the classroom to the football field. Learning on a board and on a computer screen is way different than going out there and doing it live, as you know. So I feel like there's a part of Bill that's like, you know what, this year, the way it's set up to look is that nobody's going to be really prepared. Nobody's going to be able to install their entire system the way they want to because there's just not enough time to get it run and executed. So Cam Newton is the kind of guy you can bring in here and kind of just wing it, if you will.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so Zoe said something about defense. That's what this team is right now. Would Jadeveon Clowney be an improvement to this defense? Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll take a couple of calls, and we'll continue here right after Jim Louth's Hub Headlines. Hardy in for Beetle here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.